I know is, you mess with me, you got problems. That's all I know.
I'm hot. I'm on my JJ Watt.
The wattage? Oh. Can you feel the wattage?
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Arizona was the team that stepped up here, and JJ Watt is one of the first big free agent dominoes to fall.
Pressure and taken down, and it is JJ Watt.
He personifies what it is to be a defensive lineman.
We're digging up details on how J.J. Watt became a Cardinal on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I'm on my J.J. Watt. I'm on my J.J. Watt.
This is, this is about as poignant as it gets.
I love it, man.
Pro Football Focus, the favorite website of Ron Wolfley.
Yes.
Just sent out a tweet. And I admit I had no idea, but like, wow. Let's start it in 2014. 2014 is the year. And the most snaps by a defensive lineman in a season from 2014 forward.
Yeah.
So think of every defensive lineman in the league. The most snaps by a defensive lineman since 2014, second place, is J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Who had 1,057 snaps in 2014.
Okay, I thought it was 1,013. Interesting.
No, I said 2014.
Oh, see, 2014. There we go.
But I understand. I only said it three times. I should have said seven.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
So in 2014, he had 1,057 snaps. That's the most of any defensive lineman until 2019.
Okay.
And then there's only one person since 2014 that has had a defensive lineman season with more snaps.
Okay.
In 2019, with 1,069, Chandler Jones.
Chan. Okay.
So the two seasons of the most snaps played by a defensive lineman are Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt of 2014-2019. And you've been talking a lot about his 2020 snap total. Obviously, Chandler Jones nowhere near that in 2020. But if they're both healthy and ready to go, which, let's face it, is a huge if. It's hard not to be automatically jacked up for what this does for a defense.
No, I'm with you, Douglas. Honestly, J.J. Watt has got position flexibility. That's the great thing about it. You can move him anywhere across that offensive front, any gap, you can line him up in it, and he knows what to do and can actually hold his own. Doesn't matter if he's over the center or all the way out in a wide nine technique on the edge. It doesn't matter. J.J. Watt can actually get it done. And to your point right now, Vance Joseph is going to have a party this weekend. All right. I don't know. I have no idea where he's going to be, what he's going to. He's going to have a party this weekend, I think, because now all of a sudden you have the prospect of a fresh Chandler Jones, a fresh Chandler Jones who missed a lot of time last year. And what I like about it is it's a bicep tear that he's coming off of, right? We've seen Matt B-Train, as a matter of fact, Bertrand Berry, we've seen him actually come off of a bicep. We've seen other players do it as well. It happens all the time. A torn pec, a torn bicep, and yet you come back and you're just the same. You've got no impact from it whatsoever. It's nothing with the extremities, the legs, the ankles, the calves, nothing with that, the Achilles. So he's going to be fresh, and then you've got a motivated J.J. Watt, and then you've got a healthy Jordan Phillips. You put those three things together, and hopefully that's going to be wrecking ball.
Would you say the word surprise is a good phrase, simple though it may be, of the reaction of anybody to J.J. Watt as a Cardinal?
Yes, shocked.
We have a bone to pick with a pretty faithful Doug and Wolf listener.
Okay.
That could have tipped us off to this and did not.
Certainly pulled out all the stops. Guys like our friend Frank Caliendo and Hop and even your new jingle, Blake Shelton.
Now, first of all, Rich, I love a show where the host has a good time, but that was a little much. But Steve Keim was on the Rich Eisen show and explained that Frank Caliendo was not only knew about J.J. Watt coming, was part of the recruitment.
Probably impersonated John Gruden and said that Steve Keim had interest and made some sort of funny deal. I don't know that what he did, but you know, he was my son's flag football coach and a terrible one at that. But he He lives right around the corner from our facility and is a good friend, as you know, so he's always willing to help.
We got to get Frankie on, man. Somebody hunt down Frankie right now. Are you kidding me? We got to what is this all about, Frank?
Didn't get a text.
Nothing.
Didn't get anything that said, "Hey, just wanted to give you a heads up. I was trying to recruit JJ Watt to the Cardinals."
You're part of the circle. Is that what you're saying now, Frankie? Is that it? You're inside that circle.
Didn't
help
us
trust
at all.
If you want to know how it all went down, I spoke with some Cardinals sources yesterday. They were early in on JJ Watt. They got in touch with him early, but he definitely had other offers and other places to go. And Buffalo, for one, was the one that showed significant interest. The money was right with Arizona. But they also courted him. Steve Keim got in there early and was like, "We want you. We are going to build around you. You are going to be the missing piece." They really did invest a lot of time and energy in recruiting J.J. Watt. And I think J.J. Watt felt that love.
Well, listen, guys, I don't want to get into details.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get into details right there. But that fit is, it's not only schematic, ladies and gentlemen, it's not only the X's and O's, it's not only what he's going to bring to that defense or to the team, it's just the fact that this team has got a culture issue, and they've got to breed that culture issue. They've got to develop that culture and that chemistry. I've talked so much about this. The two things, the two areas I think the Arizona Cardinals can improve the most, I think, in physicality on the line of scrimmage, and this helps them do just that. Defensively, it helps them do just that. Be more physical on the line of scrimmage and the culture of it all. It's so important how we do things, how we go about our business, who we are, who we think we are, and then to go out and back it up and prove it. This is what we do here.
J.J. Watt was asked all kinds of recruiting questions about why he's here and how it happened.
I give him credit. They attacked from all angles. There was, I think, Steve and Michael and everybody did a great job of, I mean, there were players, there were coaches, there were non-football people whatsoever that reached out and were in my ear and trying to convince me to come down here and telling me all the great things about it. And not only on the field, but sending me pictures of Paradise Valley and everything off the field as well. So the recruiting pitch was strong and heavy. But I, at the end of the day, I just tell my wife, you know, all signs just kind of kept pointing back down here to Arizona.
The thing that you have to know, if you didn't hear this, this is, I thought it was a really good question. So Lakers Suns shoot around.
Yeah.
After shoot around, Chris Paul meets with the media via Zoom. And somebody asked Chris Paul a question about J.J. Watt. And remember, Chris Paul had that brief time in Houston.
Yeah.
And even in that brief time in Houston, he got to know J.J. Mm-hmm. Watt. And then he tells us something that you can tell is totally authentic that really surprised me.
I'm excited for him. I got to know J.J. when I played in Houston. He was doing a lot of great things in the community, and I tried to help as much as I could. I've been seeing sort of the back and forth is what he may do or where he may end up. So it's crazy, you know, for DeAndre Hopkins to be out there. He was in Houston too, JJ out there. So, you know, me and Book talked about it yesterday. It's a lot of good energy coming to the Valley.
That's what grabbed me is this is such a big deal that here's Chris Paul, just like the rest of us at work, catching up with D Book, and what do they want to talk about? The fact that J.J. Watt is here, and then someone on the Zoom presser with J.J. Watt brought up the fact they just came away from the Chris Paul presser. So they're doing the Chris Paul presser as a member of the media, and then they come to J.J. Watt and said, "I just got off this press conference, and Chris Paul was talking about you."
Chris is, he's an incredible guy. He's an incredible person. He's an incredible player, a father. He just the way he handles himself and the way he goes about his business, he's a guy I have so much respect for, and I think everybody around the league and everybody around the world has respect for Chris and the way he does things. So I'm very excited to be back in the same area as him and his book and all those guys. And if there isn't enough energy in the Valley already, we're going to try and turn it up even a few more notches.
We all kind of feel this, don't we? This is some giddy stuff right
here. It is.
By the way, did J.J. Watt just, did he just go bandwagon? Did he just go bandwagon right there? Oh, my goodness. This is, we've got to get the sound effect bandwagon and play it when I talk as well.
I don't have
because
anything
I feel
that sounds
it.
Like that.
I feel it, man.
You're too busy talking for us to play any sound.
This is really, really good right now.
What do we have as the one that keeps us still talking? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Devin Booker has been ejected. They just teed him up twice.
Second ref heard him voice his opinion and decided to give him another one.
I want to see someone get ejected, but I have no idea what was said on the floor.
That ref, in my opinion, was being petty.
Duggan Wolf's The One.
114-104. Suns a winner over the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's not what the world is talking about. The world is talking about how in the world did that happen? Did Devin Booker get ejected?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I was focused on the game, to be honest. You know, I don't know what was said, you know, out on the floor. So, you know, you always want to compete against the best and, you know, You don't ever want to see someone get ejected, but I have no idea what was said on the floor, so I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. That was kind of that was a very fair approach, I thought.
By LeBron to say that?
By LeBron James to actually say that. That's exactly, we don't know what was said.
In an environment with no fans, I don't understand how LeBron didn't hear it, because LeBron is actually standing at the free throw line. The referee that gives him technical number one is standing at the top of the free throw jump circle. So they're separated by about 2.5 feet, and LeBron is between Booker and the ref.
Well, I think you have your answer.
So therefore, LeBron is either the frighteningly most focused free throw shooter in the history of the world, or he's completely being dishonest on this and doesn't want to say. The world erupted. Stephen A. Smith, WTH, how does this blank official eject Devin Booker? And he goes crazy. Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA, the Booker ejection, absolutely ridiculous. Adam Silver needs to do something about this. And it continued all night with people upset about the Devin Booker ejection, because you don't pay money or sit down to watch a game to see referees officiate, and this referee believes you do.
Unless you went out there and crossed the line. And once again, I'm not going to give Devin Booker a pass on this. You just cannot have it, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot have your best player being ejected from a game, and it's competitively irresponsible to actually do that. I think word is spreading, Basin Onions. I really do. I think word is spreading on Devin Booker. You talk at him. You bang him around. You get into his head and see what he does. Remember what the T-Wolves did? Remember this? We were talking about this very thing, and Charlotte as well. We were talking about the fact they were yelling and chirping at Devin Booker. Why would they do that? Every time you have a great player, Basin Onions, most of the times you just want to leave him alone. You don't want to give him any contour whatsoever. You don't want to provide any aid, comfort, or shelter or motivation to him by chirping at him or jabbing him. Did you ever hear of the old cliche, jabbing the tiger in the ribs? You don't do it. Why? Because you don't want to wake him up. I think teams are trying to do this against Devin Booker right now, and they're going to continue to do it if this is what happens.
But now you know why the All-Star game is so important. Now you know why, because a referee is not doing that, is not ejecting LeBron James for saying the exact same thing. He's not a referee is not ejecting Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're not getting ejected for doing exactly what Devin Booker did.
You know what? I disagree with you, because I think if LeBron James said what Devin Booker may have said, D-Book, you know LeBron James heard what he said.
I totally believe that.
You broke it down beautifully, Douglas. He's standing right there. You have no fans in the stands, so to speak. LeBron James heard what he said. He just didn't want to even tease as to what he possibly said. He didn't want to intimate at all to what he said. It was that bad. That's what I think.
Obviously, if you're listening, you could tell. There's no way Wolf and I are going to come close to an agreement on this.
Personal responsibility.
And yet, there's a different side that I was a little shocked by this one. Shaquille O'Neal on the NBA on TNT postgame show talked about it, blasted it, hated the ejection, but then looked at Monty.
I would have liked to see him stick up for his guy. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. Draymond does it. KD does it. Kyrie, LeBron, Harden, everybody does it.
Do you think it would have been different if they lost this game?
It ain't about that. It's about, you know, you got the, like, there is letter of the law of what can be said and what can be done, but there still needs to be some consistency about it. Because I know how to read lips. I be seeing some people go off on the referees and they still in the game. Like, and, you know, him throwing the ball back, that wasn't that. That ref, in my opinion, was being petty.
So there's Shaq's opinion, but it was interesting that he looked at Monty and expected Monty to do more because of the fact that you've got to jump in and stick up for your number one guy. Dwayne Wade, different opinion.
But here's the thing for Monty and what Monty is saying. The guys you named, James Harden, Kevin Durant, you named MVPs and guys who won championships before. Phoenix is trying to build themselves to be a contender. Mm. So they have to be above the petty stuff, right? Devin, is he trying to say his young leader has to be above that? Okay, you got one tech. You have to be able to bring yourself back in. So as a leader, which Monty seems like a leader of men, that's how you lead men. And I think he did a great job. That was a great answer, in my opinion.
Now, the answer, what they're referring to, is when Monty was asked about getting an explanation on the two technicals, he went pretty vanilla.
I didn't need one. I didn't get one because we had to move on. And, you know, that's what we have to do in those moments. I saw talking, I saw back and forth. And to be honest with you, I didn't need an explanation. You know, for us to be the team that we need to be, can be, we got to be able to handle those moments even when they don't go our way. And that's what I had to do. I had to move on and get Cam Johnson into the game and go to the next play.
This is really, really important. It really is. The personal responsibility of Devin Booker right now, and I hope some of his teammates actually took the time to sit down and talk to him. I don't think he needed any explanation. I really don't, but I believe this is going to be a tactic. Watch this, Macedonians. This is what teams are going to start doing. They're going to start jabbing the Tiger because they think they can get inside his head right now, and I openly question why they would do that. I questioned it with the T-Wolves. I questioned it with Charlotte because I know the one thing you don't do to a great player is give him any aid, any contour to the game by jabbing him in the ribs. Don't make him focus anymore. But if you think that the guy doesn't respond well to that, then you do it. And that's what I think is happening to D-Book right now. Teams are poking and prodding, literally, trying to get some type of reaction from Devin Booker. This guy can light you up. We know that. And yet, here you've got the T-Wolves chirping, the Charlotte Hornets chirping at Devin Booker. You got to be kidding me.
We were about 5 months into this show, and David Stern, and this is a big moment for Adam Silver here. David Stern, who is a commissioner that I respect but don't like, I admit, he did something in 2007 and stood up to an egotistical official that was out of control. And I wonder if Adam Silver has the courage to do it. I don't think he does. I think Adam Silver is going to be gutless on this and not do anything to the official and allow officials to decide fans are here to watch refs and not players. And if you remember the famous Joey Crawford, the longtime NBA referee, he got into an argument with Tim Duncan and started yelling, "Do you want to fight? Do you want to fight?" And was basically totally baiting Tim Duncan into trying to do something else. And for Duncan's actions, he got fined $25,000. Joey Crawford was actually suspended for a week and reminded people are there not to see you. They're there to see the players.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting to see what Adam Silver does with these officials and whether or not they're going to be right back into a game.
Well, I'd like to know what Devin Booker said. Do you believe a player should be able to say anything he wants to an official?
No.
No, of course not. So maybe that's what happened.
I think he probably crossed the line and deserved one technical. There is no way in the world he deserved two technicals in that amount of time by two different referees. That's clearly a referee who he wants a piece to. He wants to be able to put you in your place and say, "Hey, look at me. I'm giving you a technical as well." One technical, absolutely.
Okay, one technical, I got no problem with that. But two, you crossed the line. He knew what was coming. After he got the first one, he might have said the magic words and got the second one. I don't think, listen, you can't have players saying whatever they want to say to the officials. I don't care what sport you're talking about. You can't have it. That is an absolute breakdown. Because these guys, at some point, you can't have people threatening you physically to do physical harm to you, saying anything you want to say. I'm not saying that's what Devin Booker right. was doing, but you just can't have players saying anything they want to the officials. You have no order. There's got to be order. Has to, always. He said the magic words, and guess what? Devin Booker knew it. He walked right off. Knew it. Personal responsibility. Can't have it.
And I think you can't have those refs.
Can't let it happen.
There's personal accountability for the refs, too.
You know what? Honestly, you can't do that to your team in a big game. This is the tactic most teams are going to start using with Devin Booker. Watch.
I just don't believe there's any way Devin Booker said something, deserved a technical, and then decided, okay, now I'm going to go even higher and raise the bar beyond what I just said and get another one.
Didn't get a lot of outrage from his teammates or his coach.
What happens in that situation is the referee says not another word and you said another word because you want to. So it wasn't what he said, it's the fact that he spoke.
I have no idea. Do you know that? I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. I just know he was ejected.
I just know that's what happens because that's what refs say to me.
Please.
Coming up next. So how should the Cardinals handle Pat P? Guess who has a thought on that? Pat P. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
A lot of guys want it. A lot of guys want to be good, want to be special, want to do something special. And once you got that, you just got to continue to just make the days count.
It won't go for Smith, but he gets the rebound back to Bridges for three. Shazam! Chris Paul setting things up out on top. Ayton, he'll try a three. Shazam!
We play for each other, and we don't matter who scores. Just going out there, playing as a unit, playing with positivity. And it's all fun.
I mean, I'm greedy. I'll take everything.
Doug and Wolf. Talk Suns now.
This is pretty cool. We were going to talk to you about Pat P and his comments on JJ Watt, and then we got exactly what we were hoping for: a text from Eddie Johnson, Suns color analyst, that said, "Yeah, I can do 7:30."
Yeah, Eddie.
Player. And Eddie has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Eddie, you are the judge and jury on the Doug and Wolf Show. Wolf stares down Devin Booker saying, you got to be better. You get one tech. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. I say two referees wanted attention, thought it was their job to put Booker in his place, and thinks we're all here to watch television so we can see refs ref. And I'm defending Devin Booker. What say you?
Well, you know, look, I'm always going to defend Devin. But unfortunately, I can't defend him now. I mean,
okay, then you're wrong. Let's go back to Pat P. Thanks, everybody.
No, and because, like, Devin knows and understands how big that game was, and that's why he was riled up. So he has a quiet storm in his body, which I love. I truly do. And I just think the combustion of the moment got to him. He has to know to be better. Life's not fair, and I think he's experienced that unfairness more than anybody, especially in regards to being looked at, you know, as one of the top players in this league by coaches, not picking him for the All-Star game. It's a constant battle. He's probably going the same track like Damian Lillard did during his early part of his career. And what Devin has to understand is he just can't throw himself out there. Because it's too important. I mean, the Suns can't win all the time without him, okay? We all know that. And, yeah, so he's got to control it. Once you get the first tech, I think you got to turn your back and walk away. You know, you made your point. They're going to look at it. They're going to understand what you're saying. They understand that you're the star. But ultimately, the game is more important than your feelings at that time.
Where's Tom Chambers, Maloney? What's going on here?
I could
That's
not
the last
agree.
Time
I
Eddie's not, the judge
I mean,
on the
honestly,
Nugget Wolf Show.
Yes, I could not agree with you anymore,
Doug.
EJ.
Yeah, now, Doug, I'll say this, right? I mean, I was kicked off. I was not happy with the official. But you got to understand something. The NBA officials were one of the best officials in any league. They are, because they have to make their calls spontaneously. And sometimes they're going to get it wrong, without a doubt. But what you also have to understand is they're human. And when they show up to a game, they're not like these analytic people, robots, okay? All right? They're going to have feelings, man. And if you say some magic words to them, they might react in a way that you don't expect. Now, Devin might be able to get away with that on another game, and the official lets it go. But you have to be careful. And I know Devin's done a good job of trying to understand the officials in the league, get to know their name, get to understand their tendencies. But that's part of the battle. That's part of becoming a veteran and knowing that it's certain officials, it's certain things you cannot do.
So let me ask you this then. On that same line, if Steph Curry says those magic words at the exact same situation, LeBron James does, Joker, Giannis, Durant, blah, blah,
yes,
blah.
Yes.
Do you think they get ejected in that same situation, or does the ref eat their emotions a little bit?
They might eat their emotions. And like I said, nothing is equal in that regard. Look, I played with Charles. Charles once looked at an official and said, I dare you to throw me out of the game. It was a national game, so I dare you. And he said some other words, and the official laughed and walked away. But that official had a balance with Charles. Like, Charles would, like, you know, hang out with them in the off season, always asked about their family. You get me? I mean, so you got to get familiar with guys because they are human. And if you say some magic words, come on, man. Doug, yeah. Come on. You're married, man. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. That's a great analogy.
You said some words that probably got slapped, you know?
That's you're right, AJ. Listen, you know what? I think word is spreading on Devin Booker. I do. I think I was watching Charlotte chirping at Devin Booker. Charlotte. Minnesota, the T-Wolves, yeah. Chirping at Devin Booker. You know what's going on, Eddie, right now. To me, I think the NBA is starting to say, hey, let's try this tactic against D-Book and see if we can actually bang him around a little bit, get in his head, and maybe get him off his game. Do you think that's a possibility? Because that, to me, is what Devin Booker also has to worry about.
That puts him on his game. Well, I mean, you're talking to one of the biggest trash talkers to ever play in the game. That fueled me as a player. And it fuels Devin. No, he talks. Devin had a way of talking smack, and credit his dad for teaching him a lot of stuff. But you rarely see Devin trash talking, but he does. Mm. Oh, he does. And all players do, but Devin does it the right way. He gives you the stare down, Reggie Miller, or he'll mouth something to you directly, not like to the fans. You know, so he understands how to do it. He's got an old soul, man. And so, no, he talks smack, and he loves that. That's why he responded to it, because he wanted to have something to make him want to go at somebody. So, no, I applaud trash talk. I hope they keep talking trash talk to him, because to me, when he gets mad, it's unreal how he elevates his game.
See, and that's – EJ,
here's the thing I want – yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry,
that to me, no.
I want to say,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, here's the thing I want to say with that. This was the best lesson for Devin ever. Because what it showed him last night, hey, man, we're good too. You know, it's like Devin can't walk away and say, man, I got thrown out. We lost. It's yes. Because of me. You saw what they did when he got out.
Yeah.
They took it to another level. They showed Devin that, you know, we can do things, man. And Devin recognizes that because he passes the ball a lot. He's elevated his game in an unselfish way. But it really showed him last night when they just took it to another level and everybody thought the Lakers would walk them down, and they elevated. Sharik elevated his game. Nader elevated his game. That had to make Devin smile, man. And so for that, good Devin got kicked out last night because it showed us something else about the Suns.
This is Eddie Johnson, Fox Sports Arizona, TV analyst for your Phoenix Suns. this is huge. The point you just made, to win a game with Devin Booker out, DeAndre Ayton doing kind of up and down things, 1 minute you can't catch, and a couple other minutes he was attacking Harrell aggressively, and then Chris Paul was okay, but only one field goal, didn't carry him, and they still won anyway. So I ask you now, Eddie, now what? You've been on some bad, bad teams, and you've been on some really special teams in your career. When you're the not established up-and-coming team coming off a win like this, now what?
Well, I think they take the win, but they don't get too far ahead of themselves. The Suns have had some tremendous wins this year. Their record against 500 teams is pristine. But what they have to understand, it's two levels of the NBA. And it's the first half where guys are just trying to get through it. And then after the All-Star game, it's the second half. And the second half is recognizing who they need to take care of, who is the top team. And they're going to see even a rise in opposition even more. When you go into L.A., despite the fact that L.A. had their injuries and all of that, but LeBron's on the floor and you beat the biggest winner in this game we've seen over the last 10 years, that is saying a lot. But you got to still stay balanced, because the ultimate goal is to get to a place we haven't seen in about 10, 11 years, and that's the playoffs for one. And then two, when you get there, be relevant, because if you finish with a top seed, expectations are going to be there. So for me, yeah, I was excited last night about what happened, but I do know the measuring stick is going to happen after the break, right? When they get AD back, when teams start to get desperate and they have respect for the Suns. But, man, I'm going to tell you all something. I'm so ecstatic because, you know, for the last 10 years, man, it's been tough. And to see the development up and down. But this team's not going anywhere, guys. Phoenicians, we have a team.
Amen.
I mean, these dudes can play. And it's going to get better. If they can stay healthy, stay focused, stay balanced, it's going to get better.
Man, that's fun, Eddie.
You, Eddie. Thank you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your thoughts, big guy.
All right. Hey, Doug, sorry about that, man. But you know what, Doug, did you watch my Illini play last night? See, my night was beautiful last night. My Illini went into Michigan and just stomped them. We'll probably be number two in the country after, you know, this week.
You know,
my Bears might get, they might get that. Cardinals got J.J. Watt. I love that. My Bears might get Russell Wilson. Come on, baby.
I hope you're right.
What's fantastic about this, and you're not going to believe me, I know. You will not believe me. By the way, you got fired as the jury of the Doug and Wolf Show, I got to tell you. But this morning, Maloney looks at me and says, is there anything else other than J.J. Watt and Suns today? And I said, I got to tell you, Illinois was unbelievable last night. Let's talk about that. She said no. Maloney rejected me when I brought up the Illini today.
Maloney.
That's going to be on a drop. Thank you, Eddie.
Eddie, you're the best, buddy.
Right,
thank you.
At Jumpshot 8, follow him on Twitter. That's Eddie Johnson joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to coulternissan.com for your next new or pre-owned Nissan west of the hassle. Coming up next, Pat P on JJ on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Watt is getting a two-year deal worth $31 million.
The one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud.
I love that Steve Kahn continues to look for ways to say, hey, I'm not going to play this game scared. I think he's got a lot of juice left.
Doug and Wolf talk J.J. Watt. Now.
Turn down for what?
You got to wonder how this now relates to the other free agents, not only that have no association with the Arizona Cardinals, but also the ones that the Arizona Cardinals already have. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios. And J.J. Watt, in his press conference, talked about a lot of different things and was obviously asked about being alongside Chandler Jones and was asked about being a free agent in the first place, things like that. But one of the things that you wonder is, okay, what about the money that's remaining for everybody else? Pat P did his All Things Covered podcast this morning and was asked about J.J. Watt to the Cardinals.
I think it's a great pickup for Chandler, for him to have, you know, somebody on the other side of him that can attract the same attention that he can, free him up a little bit more. Obviously, it makes it easier for the guys on the back end when you can have, you know, two dogs that can get after the quarterback. That's their specialty, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe since 2012, they're 1-2 in sacks and like 96.5. And I think Chandler may have 90. I can't remember which one is first, but they both got 90 plus sacks since 2012.
Yeah. I think Chandler is first.
Okay. Which is unbelievable. So I think it's a great match. You know, I can't wait to see, you know, how those guys end up, you know, playing with each other.
That's all nice. But there was a moment in the presser. Give Bobby Mack some credit for this.
Oh, B-Mack.
Bobby Mack asked the question to J.J. Watt, and that was, what about the rest of the offseason? What do you know about who might be coming to the Arizona Cardinals?
They've talked to we've had very, very brief conversations about what it looks like here the rest of the offseason to put some more pieces together for this team. But I think that we're all very excited about what's possible here and about what can happen here and what this season might look like for us.
So total media. Well, we've had brief conversations, but we're all excited.
He's very good at speaking median.
Didn't go anywhere near, hey, is Hassan Reddick coming back? Is Pat P coming back? Is Fitz coming back? Well, on the Pat P question, that was part of the All Things Covered podcast. Patrick Peterson, now that the Cardinals have J.J. Watt, what does that mean for your future?
You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I think, you know, with that, you know, with them adding a piece like J.J. Watt, it definitely makes you, you know, think about, you know, your future here or, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, Steve is doing a great job of trying, you know, to put together a good team. And it was a great splash to start off, you know, the 21 season.
There's two ways that goes. It either means, man, I'm excited to think about coming back because I'm going to get more opportunities to make plays because there's more pressure on the quarterback. I don't think that's what he said. I think when you say it definitely makes you think about your future here, I think that's code for that takes a lot of money off the salary cap.
Yeah, you might be right on that, Doug Lease. I don't know his true intent right there. You're going deep. Doug goes deep. He does it often, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not saying he's wrong on this one. I'm just saying that I would love to have Pat P back. I really would. I mean, the class right there to actually answer the question the way that he did, the class that he's displaying, it's something we're all familiar with for the most part. Pat P has had some dust-ups with the Arizona Cardinals. We all understand that. Isn't that right, Steve Wilks? We all understand that he's done some things that has made a lot of people not happy with him, but for the most part overall, this guy has been nothing but a class act from day one when he showed up here. And you know what? I root for Pappy. I really do. And I think he's an above average corner right now, a guy that still can contribute to being a good football team, a guy that might not be a shutdown corner any longer, but a guy that still is an above average corner in the National Football League. And I would love somehow, some way for him to come back. I just don't see that happening. I think somebody's going to come in and pay him.
This is now the next part of it. We just talked Pat P. Burns and Gambo had J.J. Watt on yesterday. The entire conversation is available for you at ArizonaSports.com. And they asked, now that you're here, you had to have reached out to Fitz, didn't you? You had to have told Fitz, I'm coming, let's run this back.
I figured I was going to get that one a lot today. No, I cannot give any insight whatsoever into what he's thinking. I can only say that I have such a massive amount of respect for him and everything that he's done down here. And whatever he absolutely wants is what I want for him because he's earned the right to do whatever he wants.
Once again, a master at media.
Come on,
right there.
JJ.
You know what? I love it. I love
Come
what JJ
on.
Watt is saying. He's so good. He's just so good at answering all of the questions right there. He's good at answering the questions without giving you a shred of anything. And you know what? That is an art. That is the art of speaking median. And any professional athlete, especially when you play on a team sport, you better learn how to speak median. He does a great job with that. That is a nice way to answer your question without giving you anything. That's well done. It's truly an art. I appreciate it.
Okay, Steve Keim, Rich Eisen Show yesterday. I know we're getting something here.
I have not talked to Larry. You know, we've given him his space and that sort of thing, and I think that's the level of respect that he's earned. And obviously love to have him back, but that decision is up to Larry, and hopefully we'll hear from him soon.
For the latest on Larry, listen to Doug and Wolf. Larry Watts on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I got Jack.
That's all we got.
We have no time frame. I mean, I haven't given Larry a time frame. I know Michael talks to him as well regularly, so we'll just continue to monitor the situation and hopefully makes a decision soon.
This is the one question that Rich Eisen asked that I think is always fair, and I really like it, and we haven't gotten anywhere as media members with this question. Do you think Larry has made up his mind and hasn't told anybody, or is he still trying to figure out what he wants to do?
There's always a shot. I mean, the competitor Larry is, and the way we finished this season, from all the good strides that we've made and, increasing with 3 wins and all the positives that were taken away, I think Larry probably sees some great things moving forward, but, certainly up to how he feels in his body at this point in his career.
What?
Meaning, come on, Steve, let's go.
What do you mean? It's not going to give you anything either. Of course not. It's not
but
his
it's up
right
to, his body.
To actually do it.
The question was, do you think he's made up his mind or he's still actually deciding? Well, he's positive.
Well,
come on.
Again, I mean, once again, he's not going to answer. It's Larry's right
either
to
yes,
answer the question.
Either yes, he's made up his mind and you know the answer and you just don't want to spoil it for anybody. Or no, you think that it's still hanging out
there. Hey, you know what? Honestly, right now, I'm hoping that he was waiting for something and that the J.J. Watt signing
that
is
something.
Be that something.
That is pretty much something.
It is.
I mean.
Totally. Totally, man.
Come on, Fitz. Let's do this. Have a sit down with Cliff. Make sure Cliff actually knows that you're there.
He's going to retire, Doug. Okay. Fitz is going to retire. That's year 4 now I've said that. 4 years in a row. Fitz is going to retire.
By the way, if you are having
Did
a party
you hear
this
that,
weekend
Larry?
And you wanna end all the fun, invite Wolf.
I'm just saying right now, I'm 3 for 3. I said he was going to retire 3 years previous, and he didn't.
One time he called you to talk about
Let's
it.
Let's make it 4 for 4.
You told him you couldn't talk.
Of course I didn't say that.
Okay, what did you say? I'm sorry, I can't talk right now? I had to go. Yeah, so
I
say what I mean.
I had to go.
He wanted to talk to you about it. Now he's not calling
he did not.
You.
No, he didn't.
Call him and see what he says.
Yeah, okay.
Coming up next, Suns win. So are you ready to say it? The Suns are better than the Lakers? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.